Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the Department of Defense. A transcript of today's podcast will be available at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Eileen Rubel, and I'm the tech lead for the Agile and Government team here at the SEI. With me today is Randy Trezak, who is the technical manager for CERT's Insider Threat Center. Today, we're going to talk about the latest edition of CERT's Common Sense Guide to Mitigating Insider Threats, which provides current recommendations based on the Insider Threat Team's current research. Randy, it's nice for you to join us today.
Thank you.
Can you start by telling me a little bit about you and how you got here, how you started working in Insider Threat?
Sure. So I've been at Carnegie Mellon for quite some time, doing a lot of different projects around information security. Started back working with computing services, helping them to build security systems around campus. I've come to the SEI to help with a number of areas, including building executive information systems, and a transition around the 2006 timeframe into the CERT program was really focused on information security from an insider threat perspective. So my background is more of an operational researcher, trying to apply that into organizations as we build information security practices and protocols and techniques.
Okay, great. And for our listeners who might be new to this topic, can you give us a little overview of what do we really mean by insider threat? What might that look like?
That's a great question, and we've been working with organizations for quite some time in trying to address insider threats to organizations. We really start by trying to describe the difference between insiders and insiders who threaten critical assets to organizations. And that's really a clear, clean definition that you need to be able to be starting with when you're trying to address insider threats. So in a context of employees and organizations, we are all insiders to our organizations, but we don't all pose a threat to the critical assets to an organization. So what we've tried to do is really to help organizations to formulate who are the individuals that pose a threat to organizations' critical assets. And starting with that, it's a great foundation from an organization perspective. So when we look at insider threats, it's really focusing on the critical assets of an organization, who could compromise the mission of an organization by impacting the confidentiality, the availability, or integrity of those key information assets within an organization.
Okay, and how big, what's the scope of this problem?
Well, from an organization standpoint, when we attempt to address insider risk to organizations, the threat posed by insiders, really anyone who has authorized access to the facilities, to the people, to the information or technology, theoretically they do pose a threat to those critical assets. So recognizing that from a threat standpoint, really all of us potentially could pose a threat. What you need to do is build a security practice around how do we identify who's more likely to cause harm to organizations. And we look at some of the recent surveys that have been out, that have been done recently, looking at an organization which was the CSO Cybercrime Survey, of which we've been participating with for some time now. About 50% of organizations experience at least one malicious insider incident in the previous year. And
50%?
We've been doing the survey. Yes, pretty significant. And these are malicious insiders who cause harm to organizations.
Wow, we have a lot to worry about. Can you tell me about how the Common Sense Guide is developed and what's in this newest edition? I understand that there's, I think, 20 practices listed, but your blog post focuses, I think, on the top five or the most important five?
That's correct. We're very fortunate to have published this for a number of years. The Common Sense Guide now is at its fifth edition. What we try to do is to use an empirical base of actual insider incidents. Since 2001, we've amassed a repository of close to 1,600 incidents where insiders have caused harm with malicious intent or without malicious intent and have tried to build what we think are the ways that those particular insider incidents have evolved over time. So from that, what we want to be able to try to do is to help organizations to identify if an individual poses a threat to an organization and what you can do to mitigate that particular threat. So those 20 best practices have evolved around what we think would be effective countermeasures to organizations attempting to mitigate insider threats within their organization. Now, when you look at the Common Sense Guide and the 20 best practices, there are a significant number of those best practices which are information technology, information security specific best practices. But also we recognize the need to make it an enterprise-wide risk assessment process to where we feel it would be very effective to have human resources be involved in insider threat mitigation, physical security, the organization components that are actually doing the threat identification, which could include the risk management component of an organization. If organizations are working with trusted business business partners, such as contractors, suppliers, anyone in a supply chain, those individuals that you've given authorized access to could potentially threaten organizations' critical assets as well. So looking at the best practices, we feel there are technical controls, but there's also policy, practices, and procedures that could be and should be implemented when trying to mitigate insider threats.
Okay. So Randy, one area that we focus at the SCI is transitioning our work to our stakeholders in the federal government and to the general public. So as far as implementing these practices, if I'm a technical manager, an HR manager, a CIO, a CTO, what can I do to make sure that efforts to deter insider threat are taken seriously in the organization?
Well, that's a great question. And we've been helping organizations across the DoD, the federal government, law enforcement, and industry trying to implement insider threat mitigation plans within their organizations. In 2011, an executive order came out of the White House mandating organizations that manage, operate, or access classified information to build formal insider threat programs. So the DoD has recognized the ability and the need to build insider threat programs for quite some time. Late last year, at the end of 2016, the NISPOM, the rules and regulations that guide defense contractors, also was modified to require defense contractors to build formal insider threat programs. So it's very fortuitous that we are actually working with organizations that recognize the need to build these programs. So working with organizations, when we first start with the organizations, it's recognizing the threat that exists, recognizing the difference between malicious insiders, the non-malicious insiders, and how do you build a program that will address those threats to the critical assets. Keeping in mind that an organization that can't fulfill the mission of its organization will not be successful. And the threats to those organizations' critical assets could be initiated inside the organization or outside with malicious intent or without malicious intent. So it really needs to start from enterprise-wide perspective of getting senior leadership buy-in to recognize the need for a program, have an effective way to communicate the mission and scope of the insider threat program and ways to implement it, but also finding ways to measure the effectiveness of the mitigation practices, policies, and procedures you're putting in place.
Okay, great. Something I'm always fascinated with is the range of topics that your work covers. It hits on social media and workplace violence and a number of other issues that we don't always think about when we're thinking about cybersecurity. Can you give us a brief overview of what you're working on, where you think the state of the research is headed?
Happy to do it. Again, the foundation of our work is really differentiating the different types of insider incidents. So if you're trying to build a program, a plan that addresses someone who may be stealing the intellectual property of your organization, I'd certainly suggest you go to our website and look at the theft of IP, the models, what we built, what the potential risk indicators are. Now, someone stealing intellectual property would be different from someone who's defrauding an organization, different from someone who's sabotaging a network or system, someone that's different from who would be committing espionage against the United States in a DoD or a federal government environment. So really building the program to be effective of trying to mitigate an insider from doing something specific is where the program should start. So when you're building the technical controls that are put in place, there's a number of tools that may be effective. And many times organizations are implementing these tools currently in place. So data loss prevention, a general category of tool that could look for someone taking intellectual property from an organization. Okay. Looking at tools such as intrusion detection systems, intrusion prevention systems, using a SIM tool, a log aggregation tool, to pull all the data together to identify the anomalies of insider threats within the organization. And recently, newer categories of tools are coming out, such as user activity monitoring, user behavior analytics, as well as user and entity behavior analytics. And really what those tools are looking to do is to bring data together from across the organization, allow a security operations center to configure rules and alerts to alert when certain things are happening, and then we can start prioritizing some of the alerts that are coming out of these tools that are being implemented within organizations. And really the foundation of that is trying to prevent a cyber incident from happening, but recently we've been working with organizations in the DoD, the federal government, to try to prevent the physical incidents where insiders could cause harm as well. So it's really the overlap between the cyber and physical. Okay. And recently, we've been also working on new areas of research into workplace violence. As you look to build a formal insider threat program, identifying someone who may be wanting to harm the organization, whether it be the cyber assets or the physical assets, a workplace violence should be part of the scope of the problem as well.
Okay, great. I would love for us to be able to sit down maybe a couple months from now and maybe talk a little bit more about what you've been up to in the intervening time frame. Thanks so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
To view a series of blog posts that Randy's team has developed on the 20 practices described in the Common Sense Guide, please visit CERT's Insider Threat blog at insights.sei.cmu.edu/insider-threat. To download the latest edition of the Common Sense Guide, please visit our digital library at resources.sei.cmu.edu. You can click on the Browse by Topics button and then click on Insider Threat, or type Insider Threat in the search bar. We'll include links to all of these resources in our transcript. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts, Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site, and the SEI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info.sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.